This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. There was a time when author Sherman Alexie was commonly described as angry.
I'm not very angry right now, so you're okay.
That's good. I'm glad. But that anger probably isn't surprising, given that Sherman Alexie writes about life on and off, but never far in spirit from the reservation. Sherman Alexie is the author of the novels Indian Killer and Reservation Blues, plus screenplays and poems, all of which celebrate, mourn, and mock the experience of being Indian in America. His latest collection of short stories is called 10 Little Indians, and let's hear some of it.
This is the beginning of a story called Flight Patterns about William, who is a Spokane Indian traveling salesman. At 5:05 a.m., Patsy Cline fell loudly to pieces on William's clock radio. He hit the snooze button, silencing Lonesome Patty, and dozed for 15 more minutes before Donna Fargo bragged about being the happiest girl in the whole USA. William wondered what had ever happened to Donna Fargo, whose birth name was the infinitely more interesting Yvonne Vaughn, and wondered why he knew Donna Fargo's birth name. Ah, he was the bemused and slightly embarrassed owner of a 21st-century American mind. His intellect was a big, comfy couch stuffed with sacred and profane trivia. He knew the names of all 9 of Elizabeth Taylor's husbands and could quote from memory the entire Declaration of Independence. William knew Donna Fargo's birth name because he wanted to know her birth name. He wanted to know all the great, big, and tiny little American details. He didn't want to choose between Ernie Hemingway and the Spokane Tribal Elders, between Mia Hamm and Crazy Horse, between The Heart as a Lonely Hunter and Chief Dan George. William wanted all of it. Hunger was his crime.
You're a Spokane Indian living in Seattle, as are many of the characters that you've created.
In my new book, every story is about a Spokane Indian living in Seattle, so they all share that with me, at least. You know, I'm very much a sitcom American as well, so I'm just as influenced by Three's Company as I am by powwows. I think I'm actually the first practitioner of the Brady Bunch School of Native American Literature.
Well, any number of your characters are not above employing stereotypes to pull one over, if you will, on the white world.
Well, it can be part of your job description. Corliss, who's in the first story in the books, the search engine, is a 19-year-old college student who talks about, you know, using her Indian identity, that, you know, if white people are going to assume she's spiritual and serene and magical simply because she's Indian, then she saw no reason to contradict them. You know, there's a character in the book, you know, the only time he thinks of himself as being Indian is when somebody else reminds him of it. You know, he doesn't brush his teeth in the mirror thinking, I'm an Indian brushing my teeth. You know, Indian people don't walk up to each other and say, hello, fellow Indian, how's that fight for sovereignty going? You know, it's never an issue, you know. Was it James Baldwin who described it? He wonders if, sadly wonders if, racism is the entire basis for his identity because he doesn't know what he'd do without it and how to self-define without it. And I think my characters in this book often struggle with that same dilemma.
Though working with stereotypes, it would seem a little bit harder when you're working with painful stereotypes. And I'm thinking of one story called What You Pawn, I Will Redeem, which centers on a homeless, alcoholic Indian. And yet at the very beginning you write, we walked past this pawn shop I'd never noticed. And then, that was strange because we Indians have built-in pawn shop radar. I mean, am I allowed to laugh at that?
It's funny. Everybody gets to laugh. That's the point of being funny. But first of all, I'll say that, you know, stereotypes wouldn't exist if they weren't in some large measure true. So the idea of homeless Indian alcoholics is not a stereotype in Seattle, Washington. You know, there are dozens, perhaps hundreds, who live here on the streets in Seattle. So it's a part of all of our lives here. But what I wanted to do with that story was take these other archetypes and stereotypes, the Korean grocery store owner, the white cop, the white pawn shop owner, and combine them with this portrayal of this homeless Indian man, and take these stereotypes, which are so infused with negative ideas about who these people are, and create a story where all of these people in the end are pretty basically decent people. Jackson Jackson, the lead character, as some of his friends call him, Jackson Squared, and others call him Jackson to the Second Power. He sees his grandmother's dance regalia in a pawn shop window, and he goes on a quest to raise $999 to buy it back. And he, being a homeless, mentally ill Indian alcoholic, gets into all sorts of adventures and misadventures and wins money and loses money and gets distracted by women and other Indians and and booze and debauchery and passes out on railroad tracks. And in the end, ends up pretty much in the same place he started out in. And it's sort of a comedy tragedy Odysseus, if Odysseus knew how to sing better.
Well, he definitely, or a fractured Ulysses, you could, I suppose, yes. say. A very short yes. fractured Ulysses. He has 24 yeah. hours. He runs into all these characters from hour to hour. Can you turn to page 190? And we're at 8 a.m. in the morning, which means time is running out.
Yeah.
To get back to that pawn shop by noon.
He has four more hours to get back to the pawn shop with the money.
But on 190, he runs into some Aleuts.
Yes. And these three homeless men are Aleut Indians. And there's a lot of homeless Alaskan Indians in Seattle because they often hop on fishing boats in Alaska, end up down here, jump off, and just simply never get back on the boat. 8 a.m. On the wharf, those three Aleut men still waited on the wooden bench. "Have you seen your ship?" I asked. "Seen a lot of ships," the elder Aleut said, "but not our ship." I sat on the bench with them. We sat in silence for a long time. I wondered whether we would fossilize if we sat there long enough. I thought about my grandmother. I'd never seen her dance in her regalia. More than anything, I wish I'd seen her dance at a powwow. "Do you guys know any songs?" I asked the Aleuts. "I know all of Hank Williams," the elder said. "How about Indian songs?" "Hank Williams is Indian." "How about sacred songs?" "Hank Williams is sacred." "I'm talking about ceremonial songs, you know, religious ones, the songs you sing back home when you're wishing and a-hoping." "What are you wishing and a-hoping for?" "I'm wishing my grandmother was still alive." "Every song I know is about that." "Well, sing me as many as you can." The Aleuts sang their strange and beautiful songs. I listened. They sang about my grandmother and their grandmothers. They were lonely for the cold and snow. I was lonely for everybody.
And you jump ahead here to 10 a.m., so we know they sang for a long time.
Yes.
This new set of stories, Ten Little Indians, it suggests quite a bit of the anger, if you were correctly described in the past.
Septic with my own unappeasable anger, Time magazine called me in 96. Septic with my own unappeasable anger. I put that on a T-shirt and I play basketball in it.
Well, what about it? Has something changed? Has something appeased it?
No, it's so funny. It's people's ideas of the books or of me. You know, if the people who actually meet me and know me, even the most casual sort of acquaintances, I don't think would ever describe me as angry. So, I mean, I'm more angry every day at the traffic here than I am at, you know, racial oppression. So it's in the context of one book I wrote about, you know, feel-good novel about interracial murder. And Indian Killer really determined the course of the next 6 or 7 years in terms of critical response. So in order to combat that, I'll have to write another book called Indian Lover, and then maybe nobody will describe me as that way anymore. He's so nice. He wrote a book called Indian Lover.
Sherman Alexi, his latest book is 10 Little Indians. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You can hear Sherman Alexi read more from his book and hear an extended version of Renee's interview with him by going to our website at npr.org.